Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. And we're going to talk about education in the Kingdom of God. We're going to educate you about education. We're going to tell you a little bit about what's going on, been going on for over a century in America. And that is that you have been dumbed down. People talk about the new Common Core, dumbing down our children, etc., etc. You were already dumbed down. That's how they got to the point where they can foist this onto you and get you to go along with Common Core. And we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty, going down, and we're going to wrestle you to the ground until you yell uncle. Because there's something fundamentally wrong with education. This is actually about our fourth show in this series on education. We're on a lot of different networks, and so we do shows, and we follow a, rather than me simply repeat myself constantly, which I do enough of anyway, we do a little bit on each show, and eventually we make these things available, but we're going to do a quick review. You know, I've talked in the past about spiritual awakening and what it meant to breathe the life into this Adama clay, this Adama, this Adam, this man. Because the same word is translated all these different ways. And then we see Jesus breathing life into the apostles. That there is a consciousness that lets us see right and wrong. It is the tree of life. And there is another level to consciousness that lets us see right and wrong. And that's the tree of knowledge. And the problem with the tree of knowledge, it's not uninfluenced by whatever wind is blowing at the time, just like the trees in the woods. Leaves move back and forth as the wind blows, so does the tree of knowledge. And you can't really tell what is good and what is evil simply by eating from the tree of knowledge, simply by studying. We talked this morning on a show about the fact that the word study only shows up about 3 times in the Bible. And the 2 times in the New Testament that it shows up, it is actually the word that they're translating it from. There's 2 different words. They're translating into study are actually the word for being diligent, not study. It's not translated study anywhere else. And they have 2 different words and they translate them into study when the translators feel like it. And then I come along and point this out. And people say, oh, you're trying to retranslate the Bible. No, I'm just pointing out that that's not what the word means. Nowhere in the Strong's Concordance or anywhere else can you find the word meaning study. It means being diligent. So to be diligent, to show thyself approved. Well, I'm telling you that when you begin to awaken to spiritual truths, you have to be diligent in working at them and applying them in your life. You cannot just cerebrally see the truth. Because that's not what the truth is. The truth is not, you know, an outline of reality. It is reality. And when you see reality, you must act upon reality or it will leave you. And you will be lost in a daydream. Because you're a daydream believer. You're not a person of action. You have to put the truth into action for the truth to become a part of you. It's like, if God breathes into your nostrils, but you don't take a breath, guess what? You're dead. And that's what's happening. It's God's trying to breathe the truth into you, and you must act upon it. You must take it in and breathe it out for somebody else so that it becomes a part of you. That's just the way the universe is constructed. You have to put things. It's not those who say, it's those who do. So it's very important to be a doer. Right now on the radio show, I'm saying that we're very, very confused about the truth. Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore your sin remaineth. A great deal of overcoming the error in our lives is being willing to see the truth that there is error there. If you're not willing to see the whole truth well and provide for it, which is that doing, then you could be in a lot of trouble because you're not going to see the truth the next time. You have the right to deny the truth. You have a right to turn your back on righteousness. You have that right. But if you do that, then you will not see the truth in the future. And in the future, the truth may have something to do with the outcome of your own life. Right now, we have a woman in Ireland who's being thrown in jail for at least 10 days because she taught her kids at home and did not ask permission first. She did not ask permission first because she says it's a fundamental right. She's not alone in this. I mean, even the United Nations came out in their Declaration of Human Rights that the right to decide what kind of education your children will have is a fundamental right. If you have to ask permission to exercise a fundamental right, it's not a right, it's a privilege. And so, of course, millions upon millions of Irish people will come to her aid and storm the jail and say, let her go, and scare the whatever out of that judge. Or maybe not. Most people will stay and watch TV and, you know, have a picnic and that. So you tell me what comes of that. Because people of courage are rare. People of principle are rare. Apathetic, slothful, do-nothing people are common. In the days ahead, the common man will perish. You need to become uncommon. You need to seek righteousness. And you need to show up when other people need help. So anyway, we were taking little notes from Schools as Tools. I had two names for this article that turned into a booklet that actually is going to get published again, republished, because of all the stuff about Common Core and everything. And I go in very little into Common Core. It's a nothing debate. It's ridiculous. People are saying, wow, they're trying to, you know, dumb down our children, but that's already taken place. Common Core is just a little, you know, sprinkles on the frosting. You got to go back farther if you're going to solve this problem. You got to go dig deeper if you're going to solve this problem. And I quoted Plato, strange times are these which we live when old and young are taught falsehoods in school, and the one man that dares to tell the truth is called at once a lunatic and a fool. So if Plato said it, it's not a new problem. I'm not saying Plato's right all the time, because a lot of times he was wrong. And the interpretation of a lot of things that Plato said is wrong. And I quoted earlier in a show about Augustus being sensible that mankind is governed by names, nor was he deceived in his expectations that the Senate and people would submit to slavery, provided they were respectfully assured that they still enjoyed their ancient freedoms. So, it's very important to tell Americans that you're the freest country in the world. And if you keep telling them that, they might actually believe it. But then again, there's a lot of evidence that we're not as free as we used to be. But that would require you actually look at things. And the fact is, all countries are suffering under the same delusion. That was quoting a book that was one of the most popular historical books at the time of the American Revolution. And that was The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. But you don't get to study that in school very much because you're in the decline and fall of your own empire. And they don't want you to know that. They want to think you're the greatest country in the world and that everything is great. And we're going to fix this thing. And we're going to bring change and we're going to make things right. But they're not. It's going to continue to decline and fall. So you need to find out who survived the decline and fall of the Roman Empire and start doing what they did. Not just learning it, but doing it again. not just thinking, not just listening on a radio show, but doing. Doing opens the door to the next level of understanding. And when you do things, especially with others, you know, like help somebody rebuild their home after a fire, you're going to step on somebody's toes in the process. You're going to bump into each other. That's because you're on the dance floor. And when you get on the dance floor, toes get stepped on. But the alternative is not to dance at all. And so the reality is you got to get in there. You got to roll up your sleeves and get in there and be ready to learn all the skills of a free society, because you don't know them now. Another quote was, "If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, in a state of civilization, ignorant and free in a state of civilization," very important. I could go into that for about an hour. What does it mean, a state of civilization? Civilization is created by contract, civil contract. That's how governments get power, is contracts, both collectively and privately. But if you expect to remain free and ignorant in such a system of making contracts, you expect what never was and never will be. I had a conference call with a number of people in one of our congregations. At the last minute, they asked me to get on the call, and I fortunately had just come in from working in the field all day, and I quickly got on the call and was on there for an hour and a half. But in the course of that, they brought up a number of topics, and I won't get into the details because we actually even turned off the recorder. We didn't quite get into campfire talk, but we got into it enough that we didn't really want it recorded because people will misconstrue bits and pieces. So I won't give you all the pieces, but contract is a very, very important part of all Babylonic systems. And that's why Christ told you, and Moses told you, and God told you to make no contracts, no covenants, no agreements with them, nor with their ruling judges. And Thomas Jefferson kind of knew that too, but then again, he wrote the Constitution, which is a contract. But of course, all Americans didn't sign it. As a matter of fact, Americans were not even a party to it. Didn't know that. Most people don't understand that. That the average American living in America at that time was not a party to the Constitution and had nothing whatsoever to do with it. When they said, "We the people of the United States," they were not talking about the average American on the street, on the farm, in the businesses of the American streets. They weren't a party to the Constitution. It's not about them. It may be now. It may be now because of the fact that you signed all kinds of other contracts. And they've got power. And signing your kids up for public school is a contract. So anyway, we covered other quotes by Sheldon Richman, and who wrote a number of books about this years ago when we first started homeschooling about 35 years ago. Throughout history, rulers and court intellectuals have aspired to use the educational system to shape their nations. Model was set out by Plato in the Republic and was constructed most faithfully in the Soviet Russia, Fascist Italy, and Nazi Germany. And he's a little bit more radical. One of the things is whenever you see Plato in the Republic, he's referring to the book, not an actual republic, because Plato's republic was not a real republic. It was actually, and that's why they call it Plato's Republic, because it's an artificial thing. I also gave a couple of quotes and asked people, you know, of course, you just have to answer it hypothetically, who said the education of all children from the moment that they can get along without a mother's care shall be in state institutions at state expense. Who said that? Karl Marx. Of course. Right. You all got it, didn't you? Give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted. Who said that? Vladimir Lenin. All he needs is 4 years. How many years did you give your government to teach your children? How about the state will take youth and will give to youth its own education and its own upbringing? Your children already belong to us. Who said that? Adolf Hitler. We don't have anybody like that in America, do we? How about this? Parents give up their rights when they drop the children off at public school. What? Who said that? Was that Adolf Hitler? Mao Zedong, maybe? No, that's Melinda Harmon, federal judge, 1996. You give up your rights. You clamor there and you say, oh, I want a different curriculum in my school. It's not your school. Matter of fact, if your kids are going to that school, they're not your kids anymore. Somebody else is collecting the money to pay for that child's education. You're not donating enough. As a matter of fact, you're asking men with guns to force your neighbor to contribute to your child's education. So you guess what? Your neighbor gets to force you to pay for their health care. Fair deal, don't you think? I mean, you have judged it's okay to do that, that that's not coveting your neighbor's goods. You have judged that. And so I guess that's okay for them to decide that you have to pay for their welfare and their food stamps and their EBT cards and their health care and their marijuana addiction, or their heroin addiction. You're going to have to buy that. You're going to have to pay for their sex change operation. You're going to have to pay for their abortion. Why? Because you thought it was okay to force them to pay for your public school education. You can't have it both ways. You're calling evil good, and now they get to do what they want with you. You believe that having one purse was a good idea, even though the Bible told you it was not. Anyway, I could go on to a lot more of this. But I was going to get, you know, I quote John Taylor Gatto. I would, that's G-A-T-T-O. Anybody who has not seen his videos or read his books ought to read it and reconsider education, because what we really got into is the fact that your children are not being taught history. They actually removed history as a course. I couldn't believe that when I heard that. It was long after we took our kids. Well, we never put our kids in public school. I never went to public school. So we got a lot of generations now. I got grandkids and great-grandkids never been to public school. But public education is teaching your children lies, because the teachers were taught lies but told that they were smart. See, like Augustus, they were assured that they're really intelligent now, and they were assured that they know history. I used to have a history teacher that owned a place down the road, and he used to try to talk to me about what they were teaching kids in school, because he was a history teacher. And I used to run rings around his history, and he says, you should be teaching school. They wouldn't let me. Well, actually, I was asked to teach in a private school once, but I told them it was a secondary problem with teaching those kids. And that is that you should not be teaching children in single-age education. Single-age education is a bad idea. It's not natural. It's institutionalizing the brains of your children. Plus, you should not be jumping from curriculum to curriculum. This private school did this, you know. They'd have a teacher for English and a teacher for history, and you'd go to these different classes. You're going to tell their brains that they will now be interested in history for an hour. And now they will be interested in math for an hour. Now, there's a certain advantage to doing that occasionally, but that isn't the way real learning takes place. Not at all. And that's what Gatto was realizing. And Gatto, who was Teacher of the Year time and time again, award-winning teacher, says, it's fundamentally flawed. It dehumanizes the children. It institutionalizes their brains. And of course, that's the purpose of it. The moral strength of a nation is only as strong as the moral strength of its individuals. Remember, a nation is not a political subdivision. A nation is first a gathering of people. The early Christians were a nation of people. Back to that first book that I was quoting, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, that famous historian there, Edward Gibbons, refers to the early church as a viable republic in the heart of the Roman Empire, an ever-increasing state. But the church has no civil power, you say. Absolutely! Who has the civil power in the kingdom of God? The kings and priests of every family. How does that work? You probably don't have a clue, but it works by a network of people. Like early Israel, tens, hundreds, and thousands gathered together in a network of people that actually care. If somebody in their network was unjustly put in jail for teaching their kids at home, thousands of people would show up. And they'll say, let's leave those people alone. That's how Israel made it. They were all over the place. You got the idea that somehow Israel is traveling around in a big, huge glob of people. Well, what were their sheep eating? It's not going to work that way. What was their livestock eating if they're all crammed and moving in this big, huge lump? They had to be spread out in order to get the graze on the Sinai. And they were in the mountains and in the hills. But if you messed with an Israelite, horns blew across that desert and men showed up to come to their defense, because they weren't just sayers, they were doers. You need to learn that skill. You learn to need the sacrifice of being there for one another. This is the key. And one of those things is you're going to have to start teaching that to your children by not telling them that you're incompetent to teach your children, by sending them off to public school, and start teaching them yourself. And if you need help doing it, gather together in a congregation of people that you can get to know and trust, and they will help you do it. Stop sucking at the you-know-what of government, because it's just taking the blood out of your neighbor. This is why, what's the big statue of Rome? Romulus and Remus, underneath a wolf, sucking at the tits of the wolf. They drink milk, but the wolf eats meat. That's what you're doing. You're eating your neighbor. You're taking a bite out of your neighbor so that you can have the milk of free education, free health care, free whatever. Turn that around. Now, anyway, in the course of all this and giving all these quotes, including, let's start in section 3, that there is no school equal to a decent home, and no teacher equal to a virtuous parent. Love conquers all. And you're going to tell me that those people at the public school love your children more than you do? Well, maybe they do if you're going to send them there. And maybe you should send them there because you don't really love your children. But if you think you love your children, let's practice that love and get them home again. And you grandparents, help with this process. Because you didn't raise children that are competent enough to do this, then you need to start now. You're not done. Let's get busy. And then, oh, here's the quote. Fundamental Bible-believing people do not have a right to indoctrinate their children in their religious beliefs. Evidently, the guy who said this thinks that the government has the right to indoctrinate your children in their religious beliefs. He says, because we, the state, are preparing them for the year 2000. This was a long time ago. When America will be a part of a one-world global society and their children will not fit in. This is what he said. This is what this guy was actually perpetrating and saying. This is Peter Hoagland, Nebraska State Senator and a humanist. And he stated it back in 1983. And so he's had a lot of time to make this a reality. And it's pretty much a reality now. You know, Common Core, if you stop Common Core, you're $1 million late and 1,000 years too late. Because if you're just going to go back to what they were teaching them 2 years ago or 5 years ago, they were teaching them lies then. You got to go back 100 years to find the truth. You know, one of the things I quoted is the Bullock County test that was found back in 50s or 60s, Anyway, it was originally used in 1912, if I remember right. And it was an eighth grade test, and most high school graduates cannot pass it. So you want to go back to when they were dumbed down to your level? No. You've got to take back your responsibilities. You got to homeschool your children. Anyway, so we quoted a lot of other people, and you'll be able to see the articles if you're on the Living Network as they come out. And we'll have those other recordings available by that time. But I was crashing a number of the social myths. And one of the things that I brought up was the Reese Commission. I advise everybody to look up Norman Dodd, who was, you look it up on YouTube and you'll get a pretty good description of what he discovered when he was the head investigator for the Reese Commission, Reese, R-E-E-C-E. So you can look that up too. And basically what they found was that major philanthropic organizations, from the Guggenheim to the Carnegie Foundation to the Ford Foundation and a number of others, were actually conspiring to lengthen World War I and to get us into a war so that they could change the American view of history. And they have done it. And this is what I talked about in the very first program, is that when I was collecting school books to teach my own children, I discovered that history was changed. And when you go from the 1920 school books to the 1940 to the 1950, 60, 70, 80, 90, I don't even read them anymore, but the 1990 books were the last ones I would even bear to look at, and it was just abominable. And then now they don't even teach history. They call it social studies, because public school is socialism, you know. It's what Karl Marx wanted you to do. And we didn't used to do it in America. People got educated, but not with public schools. They did it because they got together. And this creates the bonds of a free society. But if you don't want a free society, just keep doing what you've been doing. In order to lighten this up, because I'm really beating you up, Mark Twain said, God made the idiot for practice. And then he made the school board. So anyway, this has been a problem since at least Mark Twain. There is no school equal to the descent, I said, to the decent home, and no teacher equal to virtuous parents. And that's because they love their children. And you need to practice love to really be a loving person. Love goes away if you don't practice it. It's not like riding a bike. You will forget how to love if you don't practice love. And I tell you this, teaching your kids at home, you're going to get a lot of practice and forgiveness and patience. It's just the way it is, and it's the way it should be. It's the way God designed it. God designed the family. Stop trying to redesign God's creation. Start getting back to these issues. And if you form congregations, communities of people that care about each other, they can help you with that and expand that educational envelope that your children should be raised in. I'd hate to quote Hillary, but it does take a village to raise a family. Hopefully it's not a village of witches and warlocks, that it's a village of loving parents. But that's what you want to gather with, is other parents that are homeschooling, home health, home industry, etc. Start working with those people. Start finding out what a free society really works and how it really works and what it looks like. Parents and family. And we're going to take a break. We'll get back to Richard Riley, U.S. Secretary of Education, when we come back, the Keys of the Kingdom, after this brief break.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me, and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys to the Kingdom, and we're talking about education and getting educated about education. And I was going to read you a quote by Richard Riley, who actually was the U.S. Secretary of Education under Bill Clinton. So what do you think he said? Did he say something really bad? Did he say something really good? See, the truth is the truth. It doesn't matter where it comes from, but it matters how you recognize it. And it's either written in your hearts and in your mind, or it's not. And he said, parents and families are the first and most important teachers. If families teach a love of learning, it can make all the difference in the world to our children. And that's true. But then again, Lenin said he only needed them for 4 years and he could change the way they think forever. So even though he was right, the fact is that love should be forever. That should be the source of the motivation of educating your children. And it says, and ye fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He's talking about raising your children. We are at war with unrighteousness. But we have to get the enemy out of our camp. And one of the enemy is us. We thought it was okay to force our neighbor to contribute to what we thought was a good cause. But see, that's covetousness, and that will make merchandise of you, and somebody else will pull the strings. So you have to get away from that entirely. Now, if you get away from, you know, homeschooling, great, but what are you going to do about Social Security? What are you going to do about unemployment and job security and all these other things? Do you really think the world is going to be offering you security? You know, what did Hoagland say? By year 2000, you'll have the New World Order. You have it. You just don't know what it all curtails, what it all means. Bertrand Russell said, another merit of home is that it preserves the diversity between individuals. If we were all alike, it might be convenient for the bureaucrat and the statistician, but it would be very dull and would lead to very unprogressive society. Isn't that interesting? He says unprogressive society, as opposed to what we have now, which is a progressive society. Because now the socialists don't like to be called socialists. They want to be called progressives. Because it sounds so much better, doesn't it? But in reality, the socialist brings about an unprogressive society. Kind of oxymoron, with the accent on the moron. On average, I'm being facetious. On average, children who are homeschooled score 30% higher in all subjects, and also score higher than private school children. Higher than private school children. Some believe that the high scores by home-taught individuals is due to the education of their parents. Although it is true that many professional teachers do homeschool their own children, they did not score higher than low-income or average middle-class parents. That's right. They didn't score higher, even though they are professional teachers. You see, because love is what makes a difference. And there's the love finds a way to impart knowledge into the children. Now, you can be a very bad homeschool teacher, that's true. And so maybe homeschooling isn't for everybody. But don't worry, everybody's not going to do it anyway. It's not going to be like suddenly the vast majority of Americans are going to start homeschooling. Not going to happen. Actually, someday it probably will happen, but there won't. Everything will have collapsed by then, and the last thing they're going to be worried about is education. They'll be worried about survival. But Dr. Stephen Duvall, way back in 1994, compared the academic engaged time and the basic skill development of learning disabled students who were home educated to those in public school special education programs. Higher rates of the AET, the academic engaged time, and greater academic gains were made by the home educated. Why is that? And I quote, parents, even without special education training, provided powerful instruction environment at home. They surpass. You know, I actually knew somebody whose child was having trouble in school. He was flunking out, and he just couldn't concentrate. So they wanted to put him on Ritalin. And the parents kind of hesitated at that, partly because I just absolutely against it, and I had some sort of influence over the parents. I mean, they weren't consulting me or anything, but I had probably said something in the past. I have a tendency to speak up, and I'm exaggerating. I don't just have a tendency. I have an overwhelming urge to speak up. But anyway, so they tried home teaching their kid, and they were still tested at the school. But he actually studied his lessons at home. What did he get? B's and A's. Went from failing to B's and A's. Amazing. Homeschooling. But they kept persisting. They wanted him back in the school. And they wanted him because they do such a good job. And it would be so important. So let's try him. And we'll just put him on Ritalin for a little while. So they put him on Ritalin for a little while. And they put him back in the school. And he wasn't flat failing. The Ritalin was working. He wasn't failing. Of course, he's only getting C's now. He's not getting A's like he did when he was studying at home. He's getting C's. And I was talking to him once, and he says, well, you know, when I wasn't on Ritalin, any kind of noise outside, I would look outside, and I'd forget about the teacher, or somebody get up and go sharpen a pencil, and I'd watch that, and I couldn't concentrate. On Ritalin, I don't even notice the kids getting up to sharpen their pencil. You know, are you crossing the street on Ritalin, too? Because that could be dangerous. I didn't even notice that semi coming. You see, you're drugging the kid, and you're creating a drug dependency on the kid. You know, all these depression drugs, this is opening the door to the zombie apocalypse. Because nothing opens the door to the other realms. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I said we talked about, you know, awakening, we talked about heavens, we talked about dimensions. These are all kind of, you know, far out there stuff, but I mean, it's what's in the Bible. You know, pulling back the veil and seeing other people. Well, what do you mean, what veil? Well, it's looking into the other dimensions. And there are other dimensions. Some are what we call hell, and some are what we call heaven. And there's supposedly seven heavens, according to many of the writings of the early church, and even before. And according to physicists, there's at least seven, if not 10 dimensions, in which other people could live, according to what physicists are coming up with today. So with all that, you know, we make all those kinds of references to that, but the reality is, what's going on when you start taking drugs? People see things. You know, you ever notice how little kids start seeing things? They have, you know, like some creature or something when they're like 2 or 3 years old. Their consciousness is waking up and perceiving things, yet they still have this innocent perception. But you learn not to see certain things as you grow older. It doesn't make them go away. You just don't see them because you learn not to see them. You learn not to look. And see, that's the way it is with the truth. You've learned not to look at the truth. I mean, there's nothing clearer than that public school education is coveting your neighbor's goods. It's not, you know, like Mark said, paid for by the state. Like I said, the state doesn't have a part-time job somewhere where it earns the money so it can provide you with free education. The state just takes the money away from your neighbor by force. And so if you want that benefit, you want your neighbor's stuff. That's called coveting. That simple. You can't be a Christian and want to send your kids to public school. You can't be a Christian and want those public benefits because you want to take from your neighbor to have them. I mean, it just goes without saying. And, of course, most people don't want to say it. That's the truth. You're going to get the truth on this show, whether you like it or not. But you can turn off the radio, but you can't turn me off because somebody's listening. We've had more and more people. Somebody tweeted about us on a big network, and we had a lot of people joining in Europe and everywhere else in the network. Now let's see what you can do with that joining. Let's see if you can gather together and start making that difference. And eventually we're going to get to a critical mass here, and we're going to grow. But we know we're not going to get the majority of the people. You're going to be like the Fellowship of the Rings, 7 against 7,000. But doesn't mean you won't win. But you are not going to have the spiritual forces you need unless you're seeking righteousness, and it is not righteous to force your neighbor to provide you with benefits. So anyway, we talked about a lot of these different things, and there's a lot of different quotes in these articles that are coming up. But according to studies like for Dr. Taylor back in 1986, and Dr. Montgomery in 1989, and Dr. Johnson in 1991, and Dr. Shires in 1992, home educators carefully address the socialization needs of their children in every area studied. The homeschooled are as well adjusted socially as their institutionalized counterparts. This is what they say. However, they are less peer dependent than the private school students. Less peer dependent. That's a good thing, isn't it? They're not dependent. They're more of an individual, which is what you need. That's the way society is constructed. The home educated have significantly higher self-concept than those in public schools, and have significantly lower problem behavior scores than conventional students. So it's not just the academia scoring higher on all the tests. Socially, they're far superior. Dr. Gary Knowles of the University of Michigan and some of these guys started these studies to prove that homeschool was bad, and ended up homeschooling their own children because they realized this is the way to go. This is the answer. Interviewed adults who were home educated, none were unemployed. And he's talking about adults who were home educated. None were unemployed. None were on welfare. 94% said home education prepared them to be independent. 79%, still a vast majority, said it helped them interact with individuals from different levels of society. They strongly supported the home education method. And exactly, home education method is not one method. It's a variety of methods. And it changes as the children change and grow. And we try different things and we talk about it and we work things out. And one size does not fit all, because we're not raising clones. We're raising people, and people, in order to have a healthy society, people must be individuals. In Oregon in 1997 alone, it appears that homeschooling had a savings to the taxpayers of $61 million per year. That's in 1997. So they should just be thrilled that we're homeschooling. But I tell you where you're going to have the problem is now they have made the local public schools, they get federal budget increases based on head counts. So they don't get as much money. It saves taxpayers, but they don't get their chunk. So they'll be after you. They'll want to stop you from homeschooling. They'll want to make it difficult. That's where you need a network. A network of people that are not divided by silly, egotistical doctrines that they've invented so that they can have 40,000 religious denominations. But you need a network of people that tend to what Jesus Christ said was the weightier matters: law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And according to natural law, the parents have a right to decide the educational method of their children. But you're going to lose that right if you try to defend it by yourself. You have to come together. Stop forsaking the gathering together. Start joining the network for home education purposes only, if that's all you want to be concerned about now. I can tell you in the future you'll be concerned about other things. But you will have started cementing the relationships of your community with other communities. And even if only 10% of your network calls up when you're having trouble, they'll never bother you again down there, because that phone will ring off the wall. And they don't like that. It's like cockroaches. Shine a light on it, they flee. And you have to keep the light on all the time. But that's just the way it is. Patricia Lyons of the U.S. Department of Education concluded that home education families have not turned their backs on the broader social contacts as understood at the time of the founding of America. They are asserting their historic individual rights so that they may form more meaningful bonds with family and community. In doing so, they are abdicating from the American agreement. They are not abdicating from the American agreement. To the contrary, they are affirming it. Now, that's an American agreement. That's not a U.S. agreement. But this is the way people think. Now, those people like Patrick Lyons Patricia Lyons and other U.S. Department of Education people, there's a changing of the guard going on. That's not the kind of people we're getting now. We're getting more and more socialists in power. And they understand that the new aristocracy is the bureaucracy. And they're going to start flexing their muscles. And you need to start coming together now, because you are at war with unrighteousness. And you need the tools of righteousness. But you have to come together, not because you're worried, not because you're afraid, but because you care about others as much as you care about yourself. And you have to work at those relationships. In Deuteronomy 6:7, it says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." The solution to today's problems is the love that Christ came to teach us. And that love was a love that came to serve one another, to be there for one another. And education includes learning how to love one another, not only on an individual basis, or on a family basis, or even on a congregational basis or community basis, but on a national basis. And on an international basis, because love knows no boundaries. You know, there's a lot of other things besides education. I think that's one of the most fundamental. But then again, there's food. What are you going to do about your food? You're going to get everybody to change and get rid of Monsanto and all that kind of stuff? Is that going to happen? They are making huge inroads. They're now, we've seen it even in our own valley. They brought in Roundup Ready alfalfa. And I can show you biologists of it after they put it on fast track so it could get out there in the field quicker. But biologist after biologist after biologist is saying this is the most disastrous thing. Alfalfa, whether you even eat meat or not, is one of the key forages in America today. If you destroy the flow of alfalfa, healthy alfalfa, into the food chain, Americans will starve. Even if you never eat alfalfa. Or never even eat something that eats alfalfa. Because if those animals are gone and that food source is gone, those people that were eating that are going to be eating what you've been eating. There isn't going to be enough to go around. It's a very critical. And we've already almost devastated our corn crop with GMOs. They're making dairy cows, dairy farms. We're experiencing as high as 15%. Some have claimed 45% infertility. And it appears that it is directly related to the consumption of GMO grain. Problem is the 600 seed cleaners that were all throughout the Midwest aren't in business anymore. They've been driven out of business by Monsanto. If you wanted to suddenly go back and not plant Monsanto grain anymore at all anywhere in the United States, there isn't enough seed to plant new crops. There isn't the infrastructure to clean those seed to plant next year's crops. You are on the verge of one of the worst famines in the history of mankind. So what are you going to do? Stock up beans? Make sure they're not GMO. But the point is, no, you need a network of people who care. The reason this has come about is because we have an abundance of selfishness in the world today. It's not commercialism. It's not capitalism. That's not the problem. Capitalism is good. Capitalism is natural. Squirrels store nuts. Write it down. That's capital. To get them through the winter. And because of that, we have lots of oak trees. Because sometimes they forget where they planted them, and next thing you know, there's an oak tree. It's part of nature. Capitalism is a good thing. Selfishism is a bad thing. And socialism is selfishism. That's what it's based on. It's based on forcing others, coveting others. It's against the commandments of God. It's against the commandments of Christ, whether you're Jew or Muslim or Christian or whatever you think you are. It's bad. And it will destroy your society, and it is pervasive today. Homeschooling your children, producing your own food, helping others, supporting community-supported agriculture. All these things are things that you need to get involved in. And one of the ways to do that, all of them involve networking. So I encourage everybody to join the Living Network. Congregations of record, go on record with people saying, we're going to try to work together to make life better for others. That's casting your bread upon the waters. Start becoming your own social insurance based on free will offerings. Start helping one another. Start learning how to dance the dance of liberty. And when you step on each other's toes, dance the dance of forgiveness. And if you want me to hum a few bars, you're out of luck, because I don't do the humming. So anyway, these are the messages from the Keys of the Kingdom that I bring to you every week. And it's the same old, love one another. And that's what you need to do. And that is the solution. That is your salvation. And so until we meet again, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.